Welcome to the Monday debrief. So obviously I usually do this on a Sunday, but I thought I'd leave it to Monday because let the Stockport game go and then we can watch it all and then come on and moan or be cheerful. So we'll start with Harrogate on Friday. Happy Easter everyone as well. Hope everyone hasn't eaten too many chocolate eggs and are sitting there now absolutely stuffed like I am. But yeah, thanks for joining us. My name's Lee Finch. I am one of the co-hosts for the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, The One Was Had a Dream. I'll be taking you through the Harrogate game, the 1-1 draw, and then talking about the 1-0 defeat to Stockport today. If you have anything you want to say, press that speak button. It doesn't matter what the opinion is. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with anyone. Just come on, have your say. We take all opinions. Press speak button. If you can't speak, press the comments and send a message in the comments and I'll go through them best I can. I already had one comment in from Terry May. He sent me a message. He'd like to have a go through. Unfortunately, he's ill at the moment. So rest easy, Terry. Hopefully get well and get better soon. But yeah, if you have anything you want to say, press that speak button. Otherwise, it's going to be me chatting nonsense for a few minutes. And I'd rather speak to people. So, yeah, get involved. It's the only way this works. We are the only place that gives the fans a voice. So, get involved. So, thanks very much for joining me. So, yeah, Friday we drew 1-1 with Harrogate. Not a great game to watch, in my opinion. I thought both teams were very disappointing. Blew my mind a little today seeing that Harrogate won 5-1 at home to Gillingham. Especially after going 1-0 down to Gillingham and then going on to batter them. Didn't think they were much cop. I thought Friday's game, we'll come on to today's, but yeah, Friday's game I did have down to Johnny Jackson. I don't think he changed it up enough for me. Seeing Kelly on the bench again was disappointing. Bringing Omar straight back in, considering he just travelled back from Australia, for me was a strange decision, even though me and Danny spoke about it on the pod. And said we would play him, but as a manager, you think he would have rested him and put Kelly up front. The Curtis red card, do people think it's a red card? Do they think it's a booking or not even a yellow card? It's just a talking to. In my opinion, having watched a few angles of it, unfortunately for me, it is a red card. I can see why it was given as a red card at the time. The refs thought about it. He's given it as a red card. I've seen different angles. I know if you slow things down, they always look worse. But yeah, for me, it's a red card. It's a silly challenge, in my point of view, from Curtis to be diving in. There's no need for him to dive in there. And he gives the ref a decision to make. I know people were shocked. And if it had been a yellow card, I probably wouldn't have been too surprised. But yeah, for me, it was a red card. So, Kevin, you've asked to come on straight away. How are we? You good?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I hope you had a good one. Well, what a weekend, eh? I think really this weekend's probably shown where we are and also where he is as well as a manager. He's tried to shit out both games, basically. I mean, I've just watched the interview. He's clearly set up just to frustrate them and just try and nick one. That ain't worked, obviously. I mean, till he's missed the penalty, it's absolutely shocking. Don't know if you've seen it or not. But I think it's really shown sort of where we are. You know, Friday, we're 1-1, and what do? We end up with, I think, 5 centre-backs on the field. You know, his substitutions are in no way attacking in any way. I'd agree with you 100% about Omar. You know, as good as he is, to fly all that way and then, you know, expect him to play. We all love him. You know, we know he's full of energy and that, and we love what he does. But to ask him to do that, having come back from Australia, was absolute lunacy, you know, absolute crazy. So I think we're going to end up where we are, mate. And for me, it will be a failure because I really think we had we had at least a playoff squad this year. You know, some would probably look and say, you know, in January, having lost Ali, then to lose the 2 centre backs, where we are, he's done quite well. But I'd say that we've probably lost, we haven't got what we should have done because we just haven't got the firepower and we need to do something about it in the summer because who knows what's going on with Kelly.
So for me at the moment, it's not a failure. It depends on where we finish. If we finish as low as 15th, which we could still do, then I'd have to reevaluate it. It depends on how we get on now with these, what is it, four games left against teams that we, Swindon, we should be beating, Tranmere, we should be beating. Walsall have dropped massively now, and I think that's a bit of a dead rubber. Will be by the time we play them. And then Salford, I think we should be looking to go all out against Salford now on Saturday to beat them. But it's, for me, it wouldn't be a failure because you have to take into certain aspects of what happened in the season. So we lost Lewis and Johnson, our two best centre backs during the season. We've had a makeshift defence and still look solid. Against Harrogate, I didn't think we did too bad. Defensively, we looked really good again. Defensively today, we were solid against a team who've been scoring goals for fun. I think people got to remember who we were playing against today. Also, it's not the fact that we just lost Ali. I said it on the pod. We also lost Lemony Evans. And I think Lemony Evans was a huge part. I thought he was poor today. But he was solid for us, really good, scored goals, vital goals, and he created stuff. He's 10 times better than Tilly, 10 times better than Merfield, and I think we missed him massively as well as Ali. And as I said, we lost our two best centre backs. Reeves hasn't looked the same since he come back from injury. I'd like to know why he was missing today. Is it injury or is it the fact that we've just taken him out of the game? And again, with Little hasn't looked okay the last couple of weeks. So we are playing with a makeshift team and a makeshift squad. My problem with Jackson is I don't think he's using Kelly ideally that he should be, because I'd like to see him play through the middle. Or today, I would have liked to have seen him, if we were going 4-4-2, which I thought it was today, I would have liked to have seen Omar and Kelly up front. I don't know what you think, Kevin, with regards to that.
I mean, I agree with you. I can't understand the whole Kelly situation, and it makes me wonder whether there's something more than what he's seeing. Because I can't see how you can buy someone in January, pay what we've paid, and then him just sit on the bench for a number of games. It just seems like absolute lunacy. So there's got to be something more than we can see. I would agree about Lemon, absolutely. And do you know what? He's out of contract in the summer. I can't see him keeping him, really. I can't see he's a League One player. He's got to be top of our list. He's 100% got to be, because he gave us so much in that middle that we're devoid of at the moment. It was better to see the 4-4-2. And yeah, 100%, I would have had him up there with Omar, without a doubt. For me, it's a failure because he's good at shit-housing games. He's good at, and all he keeps on about is we look strong, we look good defensively, and that. Do you know what? That's fine, but you've got to pull it in the net. Yeah, if you don't, it's the old adage: don't score goals, don't win games. Yeah. And he can't figure that bit out, and that's where he fouls down. And maybe he needs help. We need to get someone in, or we need to get a couple of strikers in the summer. But I just think it's a failure from that perspective.
Where Johnny Jackson's annoying me at the moment is he came out after the game on Friday and said he was very proud of the players. Where I wasn't so proud of a performance when, okay, we went down to 10 men. But for me, Curtis shouldn't be diving in a challenge like that where we didn't need to. I know some people said the referee was really poor, but we're not having shots on goal. I know we're defensively good, but Harrogate, not much. I know they beat Gillingham 5-1, but I thought on Friday they were awful. Second
Yeah,
half,
they were.
first half is one of the worst performances, and we say it quite a lot now, is one of the worst performances I've seen from a Wimbledon team, first half. Second half, we improved, but we didn't really force their keeper into much to making. So I can't remember a save that their keeper made where we thought, oh, yeah, that was nearly a goal. The thing with Kelly, Danny said this on the pod. If anyone listened to the pod on Friday, it is now 13 games with him not scoring a goal. And again, today, I know he came on 70th minute or whatever it was, but he didn't have a chance, didn't touch the ball, I don't think. Is that the way we're playing, or is he not getting himself involved? I watched the Ipswich game today. Ali makes himself three or four chances that game. And I know they're two different players, and we can't expect Josh Kelly to do what Ali does. But Josh Kelly's not making himself available. He's not getting himself in. He's not making the runs. He's not. Do you know what I mean? I thought he was poor when he came on today. Really poor, because he didn't do anything. I thought Gordon was poor today. But Friday, again, I can't remember any chances that Kelly got on or had to sort out or anything like that. Oh, no, he didn't come on Friday. That's probably why. Probably why he didn't have any chances on Friday, because he didn't play. That's me. But, yeah. But, you know what I mean? He's played 13 games. And as Danny said the other day, he hasn't – he's had four chances. So
I think he's had quite a charmed life, to be honest, because, you know, there's a lot of other strikers we've had that have gone this deep without scoring, and they're getting ripped a new one. And everyone's been pretty sort of softly about him. For me, I'm the same. I want to see him join in. I want to see him try to make something, to make something happen, to drop a bit deep, try and do something, I don't really buy this, we're not playing his game, Yes, every striker will have a way they'll play, but he needs to bring something to the party as well. And I don't think he really has at the moment. And yeah, this is why I don't know what your thoughts on Omar are, but I think if we're offering, and I guess we're offering Omar quite a reasonable contract, if he's going to be there with Kelly, that looks like a car crash again next year, because they ain't never going to play it together. So we're spending big money on something, you know, that don't fit.
I think we're going to need three strikers in the summer. I think that will be without Omar. I think Omar's off. My understanding is that he lives in Swindon, which blew my mind a little bit. I know he played 1 year at Forest Green, but he obviously moved up there when he went to Forest Green. He's travelling in, and he's finding the travelling hard, which again blew my mind, because he was at Sutton for what, 5 years. Sutton fans said, he said the exact same, that he wanted to move closer to home and then ended up signing for us. But I think he's not. I don't know if he's trying to orchestrate a move, or he wants to play home. He might end up at Bristol Rovers, Swindon, or Cheltenham. That's my opinion. I think he, as I said, I think he's travelling is getting to him a little bit. I know he's got a young family, and I think he'll be possibly off in the summer. I think we'll keep Little, but yeah, we'll lose Omar, which means we need three strikers, and hopefully Davison will be off as well, because again, I feel sorry for Davison, I really do, because I think he's getting a lot of heat and a lot of stick now, because when he comes on now, people are like, what's the point? You might as well stick me up front, or you might as well just stick a cone up front and probably do better than Davison. But it's all we got at the moment. Today, what was it on the bench? We had Ogundia, we had Pierce. Who else was on the bench, centre-back-wise? I think there was another defender on there. It was very defensive.
Was Biller not on the bench as well?
We had Biller, Pierce and Ogundia. So we had two right backs and a centre back that was on our bench. Why not put McLean on the bench? Why not put Kai Jennings on the bench? Do you know what I mean? Just said, for me, the playoffs are now done. I think we're not getting the playoffs. We have to win all four games. Don't think we'll do that. And for me, the playoffs are done. I think a few people have said it here about maybe playing the youth now, playing some of the youngsters. Yeah, Alex Butler, we need to start thinking of next season and getting the youngsters involved and more minutes. Let's hope Craig Hope has some gems up his sleeve. I do trust Craig Hope, and I think he'll do better next year. The one, as I said, Terry, unfortunately, can't join us. He's not very well, so hope you're resting up, Terry. So could you throw this in for me? Do we think it is a lack of numbers in the squad that has cost us an easier ride to a chance of making the playoffs? I don't know, because as I said, we really have suffered through injuries this year. We lost Reeves, we lost Little for a little bit at the start of the season. We then lose two best centre-backs, and you could see the difference, I think. I know we've been solid at the back with Lee Brown, John Joe and Bournemouth, but I think you could see the difference today in having Johnson and Lewis at the back. I just thought they're just so good at the back for me, and they're good to have. People are saying about getting John Joe at all next season and Bournemouth next year. Kevin, what would you do regards to that? And again, if anyone wants to speak, press the speak button. Send your messages in the comments. We'll go through them best we can. Come on and have your say, whatever you think. So, yeah, would you be going after John Joe?
Nah, too old, mate. I think he's done amazing. I mean, him and Brownie have been unreal. Would I take Bournemouth? Without the long throw. I think the long throw's just been killed. You know, we can't work out how to use it. So yes, definitely have him, but wouldn't just tell him to forget the long throw. I think as far as centre backs, I don't think there's a team probably in our league when you look at, you know, they're probably the two, one of the, they're probably the best two centre backs probably in that league as a pair. Yeah. And I think any team you take them out of it, you're going to struggle. So yeah, we did well with the three, but no for John Joe, but definitely, I'd definitely take a chance on Bulmer.
Yeah, I think I have to agree a little bit there. I love John Joe at all. I think he's wicked. I'm glad he signed for Wimbledon because he's a player that I've always admired for being that bastard that you hate for everyone else. But once he joins your team, you could just see the experience. Even dropping into midfield today, I don't think he was overrun at all. Where Little and Reeves have been previously, I thought he was really good. I thought Ball actually was good today. I thought Ball was poor on Friday against Harrogate. I love Ball. I think he's a really good lad and probably good to have around the place. But I have been disappointed when he has played. Don't think he's brought much to the table. But again, I thought he was good today. But I just want Ball. I just feel sorry for him because, again, he don't start a lot of games. So he's coming in here, there. He's played probably every position as well. I remember at Walsall, no, at Wrexham, where was it? He played like in the number 10 position just behind the striker, which was mad. But yeah. Jonathan, how are we? We good?
I think we're okay. We're okay. I was not surprised by today's result at all. I think that, you know, Stockport is demonstrably a better side than we are. And the fact that we hung in there the way we did, I think is a testament to how, you know, we've punched above our weight class all season. You know, I mean, if you look at this side, especially with the injuries, you know, we're like a 10 to 12 in a table type side, and the fact that we're still sniffing around the playoffs this late in is really pretty remarkable. I you know, in terms of playing the youngsters, I think I get the idea, but until you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, I think that you still have to do everything you can to at least hold out the last little bit of hope. I think the playoffs are really, really unlikely. So many things would have to fall just perfectly, and we'd have to get pretty lucky. But until you're mathematically eliminated, I don't think that you completely give up every single opportunity you have to try to hold out hope that that could happen. You know, there's plenty of time to get youngsters, you know, more involved. I think after the summer, we're going to have to figure out who's exactly on the side, and JJ is going to have to figure out what's the best way to play them. So I'm not really all that down at all today, to be fair.
Yeah, see, I get a couple of your points. I think one point I want to go back on with you, Jonathan, is I know we're up there, and is that because of the squad we've got, the management, or is it because this league's actually quite weak when you look at it? As I said, I didn't think Harrogate were anything on Friday. I thought we should have, if we had gone out with a more attacking threat and not worried about conceding and losing the game, I think we might have done them. I didn't see anything from them. I've not seen anything from Gillingham, Crawley, Stockport even today. I know they've been battering teams. I thought, oh, they're okay. They're not, do you know what I mean, really good for a team top of the league and scored 8 goals in the last 2 games, I think it is. The league's weak. The other point I get, and I agree with you regarding playing the youth team and the youngster players and going for next season, is say we do that for the next 4 games and we get beat 3-0 each game now, and we're playing Sutcliffe at the back, we're putting a young striker on who's just come for our youth team, and we're thinking about next season, Kai Jennings playing more games, McLean comes in, and we start losing games, and we drop down the table, then people are going to be absolutely going crazy, and it'll get toxic quite quickly, and Johnny Jackson's job will be talked about straight away, and that's not something that we need. We need to be going into next season with a little bit of momentum, good spirit like we did about 3-4 weeks ago when we beat the Scum and we beat in Notts County and we were looking at being favourites to make the playoffs. Kind of get people point. We don't look like scoring, and it is hard to watch and it's quite boring, but we're not conceding goals and we're still up about amongst it. As I said, at the end of the season, if we finish 15th, 16th, I think people can then turn around and go, well, that's not great. But if we finish 9th or 10th, I think on last year, everyone would say, well, that's an improvement and we're going to have a better squad next year than we did this year.
Well, I don't think the result of the next 4 games is going to have much of an impact on how I feel about this season, you know, because really last season with 4 to go, we were looking at the table and thinking, oh my God, are we going to survive? are we going to make it through this and not get, relegated out of league football? And now this year with four games left to go, if everything falls just perfectly, we could be in the playoffs. So I don't think that what happens over the next four games is going to make me feel any different. I think that, Craig Cope has proven his ability to bring in some good players. JJ has proven his ability to make some changes to tactics. Now, I wish he'd do a little bit more. I wish he'd bring in subs sooner. But he's a much better manager this year than he was last year. So I think that if you look at the trajectory, there's a lot of things to be really positive about. But, getting back to the question of the youngsters, getting Kai Jennings, four games is not going to change whether he's going to be in, the starting 11 or the bench next season. It's not going to change that. So I'm not too worried about trying to get minutes to guys over a 4 week period. Look, if we're mathematically eliminated after two, then yes, I'd say give, as many minutes as you can to the Kai Jennings, the Sutcliffes, the Sassus. But I don't know that it, again, I don't think it really makes it, we've had a good season. I think we can say that, can't we?
I don't know until the end of the season if we can say we've had a good season. Because I said, if we finish as low as 15th and 16th, I'd be very disappointed looking at the league table and going, how did we finish that low when we've got a playoff team, a playoff squad? This squad, even without Lewis and Johnson, it for me is still a playoff team. As I said, I've not seen anything from Crawley, teams up there, Gillingham's, Crewe. Crewe got beat again today quite convincingly. And I'm thinking, the only one I've seen that are actually half decent, and people hate to say it, is actually Milton Keynes. And as much as we hate that, they are possibly one of the better teams in the league. And the three that are all already going up automatic, which are Wrexham, Mansfield and Stockport. I just think, I don't know, regarding Johnny Jackson, I'm trying to support him. I'm trying to get behind him because I think, again, negativity leads to negativity around the club, around the pitch. Never helps. Trying to be a bit more positive. But has he improved as a manager, or is it the fact that Craig Cope has given him a better squad? Because the way we play football is not great. Like going long to midgets is really poor sometimes. And you see it a lot. We just literally just go long with no plan B or anything at the moment. And he kind of stumbles on a formation that works. He sticks with it until we lose a couple of games and then he tries to change it around again. Kevin, what did you want to say? Now I'll go back to Jonathan.
I think I'd agree with Jonathan about the kids. I don't think they're gonna learn much, and I don't think we're gonna learn much in four games. And in reality, if you look at the next four, yeah, and it really is shit or bust now. Yeah, I don't think anybody's gonna throw their toys out their pram if we were to lose the next four. Yeah, we need to try. He needs to go out and he needs to try and win those four games. Yeah, he needs to use some strikers, and he needs to try to win them. So I don't think the kids are worth a try. I think we should still plough on because there is still an outside chance. My issue is, if you look at the table, it's the draws that have killed us. You know, we've got nearly double the amount of draws to the other teams around us, yeah? If we'd have, won a couple of three of those games, we'd be absolutely comfortably in here. And that's where his problem comes, through being too defensive, from not making the attacking changes that he needs. I just don't think he's learned enough, and he needs a hand. He needs somebody who can help him with the attacking part of the game. But that's my problem with him. I think he's just been too defensive, and we've ended up drawing too many games.
No, I tend to agree. My problem with Jackson is his subs. His subs are too like for like. You look today, took Gordon off, put Kelly on. Gordon was the one up front with Omar, put Kelly on. He then takes Nurfi on off and puts Sasu on. Sasu goes winger. He never changes the game to win it, unless we're literally getting beat 2-0 or stuff like that, or maybe at Doncaster when he had to change the game drastically. And that's what worries me about him, is he never changes the game with subs. They're always like for like. Jonathan, I'll come to you quickly and then I'll go to Connor.
I wanted to talk about the long ball thing, and obviously that's horrible, but I mean, I don't know how much choice that we've really had, because we've looked so bad in the midfield since January now. Reeves his production just fell off a cliff. I don't know what happened to him. He's not the same player he was the first half of the season. I hope Craig Cope, I mean, obviously we need, I agree with you, three strikers, two or three strikers for sure. But we also need some really quality midfielders who can play longer than 4 months out of the season and still look good. Because while I don't agree with the long ball, and I do think we needed to keep the ball on the floor, when our midfielders have been as bad as they've been recently, I think that it does limit your options.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying, Joe, with guys along ball. But as I said, regarding subs again, on Friday against Harrogate, I've just got it in front of me. So we lose Ronan Curtis in the 61st minute. He brings off Gordon and brings Tilly on, so like for like. And then he takes James Ball off in the 93rd minute and put Joe Lewis on. We're 1-1 with Harrogate. I know we've got 10 men, but they're looking awful, to be fair. He's really brave with our performance. He's really happy and thinks our players are brave. But he ain't brave himself in the fact that we've still got Sasu, Davison and Josh Kelly on the bench in a game that we need to win to be able to get into the playoffs. Knowing that also on Monday we are playing Stockport, who are scoring goals for fun, and we could get turned over easily there, which we haven't done. We've lost the game 1-0, but we've still lost the games. We've only picked up 1 point out of them two games when we're chasing this last playoff place. And I think Kyle's got it spot on. Crawley probably deserved the last playoff spot and smashed the Newport 4-0 today and can actually play attacking football. Do you know what I mean? So that's the difference between a team like us, where we're more worried about losing games and sitting back and defending, which we do perfectly, but we're so scared of the other part of the game, which is actually trying to score goals. Connor, what did you want to say? How are you? You good?
Evening, folks. How are we all? Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one with the playoffs. I remember there was so much negativity at the start of the season, understandably, with how the previous season finished. So I think to sort of step back and look at where the team is now, the fact that they're even near the playoffs, I think is an achievement in that. However, the performances really have sort of tailed off sort of gradually as the season has progressed. I think the biggest thing that's hurt this Wimbledon team in terms of going for the playoffs, other than losing Ali, of course, I'm not finding, not necessarily a suitable replacement, but I think you really had to replace Ali with another Ali, and we know how difficult that is. I think what really hurts this team is the failure to win games at the start of the season. I think the vast majority of games near sort of August, September, October, Wimbledon were the better team, and there's a bunch of games, as Kevin said, that ended in draws. I'm thinking Wrexham, first game of the season at Plough Lane. Wimbledon were a better team that day, drew 1-1. Forest Green drew 1-1, thought they were the better team in that game. I remember the Crewe game. Wasn't that a Crewe scored in like the 95th minute or something like that? Yeah. There was a bunch of games, I'd say close to half a dozen games, which, okay, maybe you don't expect to win all of them, but you should certainly could have and maybe should have got 2, 3, 4 more wins out of those. And I remember thinking at the time, okay, I wonder how important this is going to be come the end of the season. Obviously, lose the best player in the team in January. The Josh Kelly signing was interesting in the sense that he sort of fits the mold. He's like a mini Al Hamady in the sense that quick, can cause nightmares for teams on the counterattack. But I think as the performances have regressed a little bit, the team has become a lot more direct. It's been direct all season, but it feels now it's just, especially with the back three and obviously the injuries, it would just be past the Lee Brown and then he would just sort of lump it up there. And Kelly's 5'9". It doesn't suit the way he plays at all. And I think, like, he had a bunch of chances in the first couple of games, was unlucky not to score, and it's that classic case of a striker just needs the goal, that first goal. But then, as the more he's played, the more the team has played away from a style in which I think suits his football. The way the team was direct earlier in the season, it was Omar dropping deep and Ali getting wide or Tilly getting wide, whereas now it's two up front, more central, and sort of lump the ball up to them. It's been a surprising change, obviously, how much of that has been forced by injuries and unavailable personnel. And I would agree with Jonathan's point that the midfield has taken a step back. But look, four games left. I think you go with your strongest team. And if you miss the playoffs, which is looking likely, at least if you can get a couple of wins, you can take that momentum into next season. Obviously disappointing probably to miss out in the playoffs, but I think there's so many positives to take from that. And I would like to think for Jackson as well, lessons to be learnt. I think he learnt a lot from last season. Maybe some fans think that he hasn't learnt enough, but he's still a young manager and this is still a relatively young team. So I think you're not wrong to be disappointed. No fan is wrong to be disappointed in missing out in the playoffs. But I think overall, plus including the MK game, of course, there's a lot of positives to take, sort of looking bigger picture and taking a step back and analysing everything.
No, I tend to agree. I was just looking at some of the results while you were talking there, Connor, and saying, the problem I've got is Lombard will only come in really after Christmas, because before that, August, September, even October, November, we were getting results. I remember going up to Walsall when we beat Walsall 3-1 and absolutely played them off the park. We beat Tranmere 4-1. We went to Harrogate and won 1-0. We drew against Newport. We drew against Crewe, but then Crewe were flying at that time, so it wasn't a bad result. We beat Sutton 3-0. And we're playing some decent football. We lost to Accrington. We lost to Morecambe. And then I think once we got to the Milton Keynes game where we lost 3-1 up there, we've just changed the way we play. And we changed the way we are tactically. We just go longer now and think it's going to work. And I don't think it has worked since the new year, really. I think the way we play football has not... It's gone down and we've lost Ali. So, as I said, January's got... Ali's gone. I think the big one for me is Lemony Evans going. I think he was crucial to the way we played. And we lost our two best centre-backs. It doesn't help as well when we talk about it now. It doesn't help that we've missed 6 penalties out of 9 this season. I think someone said it's Barry Pickett. 6 penalties is massive. I think, where was it, Mansfield away, we drew 0-0 until he misses up there. Ali missed a couple. And if we had scored them penalties, we would have had more points on the board and be comfortably near the playoffs. Alfie Dixon, we needed to replace Ali with another strong physical striker. We didn't, and instead we signed another Davison. Both Kelly and Davison have speed, but not much physical presence. So I actually disagree with that. I think Davison has not really got that much speed. He has physical presence, but he's just not very good. I think he doesn't read the game at all, Davison. And I think I'm with most people here that I hope to see him move on in the summer. Kelly, I agree with... Kyle get plus the Kelly situation. He had chances to score. We all know that, but it's so clear we don't play to his strengths. Sure, he can push a defender off balance and get in on goal, but he needs the ball to his feet. And I agree, I think he needs the ball to his feet and he needs to play with someone else so they can link up. I think Josh Kelly and Ali would have been a perfect partnership. I really do. I think Josh Kelly would have scored more goals if we had Ali. We don't. Omar, as good as he is and people are bigging him up massively, he doesn't play well with another. I think where he was playing with Ali, he was dropping into the midfield. And Ali was doing a lot of the work at the front. Josh Kelly won't do all that work. He needs through balls and he needs balls to his feet. He's not an aerial threat. Richie, and bear in mind we're away to a top team days after playing half an hour of 10 men. Wouldn't be a surprise if we ran out of steam somewhat in the closing minutes. And kind of, yeah, agree with that. And that's why I thought the subs on Friday were quite strange, because he brings on Lewis in the 93rd minute and only made one change. Why not change it up? Bring off Omar, bring Josh Kelly on, put Kelly up front and stuff like that. But yeah, he didn't. And that's really surprising for Friday. If you want to say anything, if you want to come on and speak, press the speak button. Have your say regarding the games, regarding Johnny Jackson, regarding tactics, formation, Josh Kelly or any other of the players that you want to speak about. Press that speak button, come on and have your say. If you can't, then just send us a message. If you're travelling back from Stockport, fair play for going up there. Send us a message and we'll go for them best we can. Kevin, what did you want to say, mate?
Yeah, just very, very quickly about the subs. I mean, today, Friday was baffling. Yeah, to bring, we're going for a goal and we bring Lewis on. Was just unbelievable to see. But today, if you look at Stockport, made 5 changes, yeah? we snuffed them out. They didn't really do much. They had a header in the second half, didn't they? But that was about it, yeah. But, you know, five changes to try and change that game, and ended up one of the changes won the game for them, yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't do that, yeah. And some could say, well, we don't have the bench they have. We've still got, you know, we've got games that we've got a win, and we've got strikers on the bench, and he's putting on defenders. It's just a bit of a mystery to me.
No, I tend to agree. As I said, that's a big downfall for me for Johnny Jackson. And I think John said earlier that he thinks Johnny Jackson will improve next year. He's improved this year. He'll improve next year. That's one thing he has to improve on his subs. As I said, against Harrogate, he brought Gordon off and brought James Tilly on. I don't know what's happened to James Tilly. Where's the James Tilly from the start of the season? Because we've got a totally different James Tilly at the moment. Doesn't look like he could beat an egg, let alone the other players. He's struggling massively. And he brought James Ball off and brought Joe Lewis on the 93rd minute. We had Sasu, Davison and Josh Kelly still on the bench. We were 1-1. We had 16 shots against Harrogate. 5 on target, 7 off target. They only had one shot on target the whole game, which they scored with. Mm. But we had 16 shots and he didn't bring on more attacking options. And I know we had 10 men when Ronan Kurtz got sent off, but you could have changed up a little bit. You could have bought off. Didn't need to.
Even with 10 men, we looked the better side. If anyone was going to win that game, we were going to win it. We're at home. A draw's no good. Yeah, we might as well have lost that game as drawn it. Yeah, you chucked the both of them on. And today, after 80 minutes, Omar's played, you know, two games. He comes off. Davison, if for all his faults, he runs. Yeah, put him on, stretch the game, you know, try and do something different rather than bringing Kelly on, who you know he's not going to play with Omar, and it's just a mystery.
I agree. I would have took Nerfield. I know Nerfield was playing well against Harrogate, but Nerfield doesn't score you goals. I think he's a good defensive player now, Nerfield. I think he gets back, he puts challenges in, he stops them attacking, and he was playing, as I said, I think he was playing well on Harrogate, but you need to score goals and you need to get players on that are going to score you goals. And I know people say Davison, he scored 10 goals last year. He's got 4 goals this year. He will score a goal if he's in that box. And I would have changed it around a little bit more. But yeah, he tends to keep it really late or just do like-for-like subs. Jonathan?
Yeah, I just wanted to, just a quick gut check here. We can talk about games that we think we should have won, but I think it's also important to know that there are some games that we easily could have lost. You know, I know that we can look at the games that like, oh, if only this one had gone different and this had gone different, then we'd be in this playoff position. You can find 3 or 4 games that we barely nicked a win or a draw out of that had those gone the other way, we'd be in 15th in the table right now. So I think that it's just when you're at this level, when you have a weak league and a big pack that's right around that, you know, 10 to 15 in terms of quality level, it's those little things that could have gone either way. So I'm not too upset about looking at a couple of them that might have gone differently because, you know, it could have gone the other way just as easily.
No, I tend to agree with that, John. And as I said, that's why I think we need to do a proper review of the season once the season's finished, because say we win the next 4 games and we miss out on the playoffs by 1 or 2 points. A goal difference is solid this year. We finish 9th. I think people can then look at it and go overall with some of the injuries we've had, losing Ali in January, losing Lemony Evans in January. Overall, it's been a decent season. If we can get this player in next year, we can improve again. Leagues, I think, in my opinion, is going to be weaker next year. We can really make a go for it. But if we end up finishing 15th or 16th and we find out we can't get rid of some of the dead wood still, some of the players are still going to be with us because they're still under contract. Zanev, Nightingale, people like Davison, they've still got a year left on their contracts. I think actually Zanev might be this year. I think he's up in the summer. But yeah, Davison, Nightingale still got a year. We need to get rid of them. I think it's like, oh, it could be a little bit doom and gloom again. And look at what we can do to improve, because finishing 20th and then finishing 15th when we've got, and most people say we should be around the playoffs with the squad that we've had this year, finishing 15th would be disappointing and for me a bit of a failure. Yes, John. Yes, Kev, sorry.
That's all right. Right. So just to come back on Jonathan, yeah, I'm just looking at the table now. Yeah. Zanif is out. Definitely. He's gone this year, and he's definitely in his last year. If you look at the table, okay, so we've drawn 14 games. Okay. Above us, 1 point ahead is Gillingham. They've drawn 9. Then it's Morecambe, who've drawn 9. Crawley, surprisingly, have only drawn 5. Yeah. And then the next bit above them is Crewe on 12 and Barrow on 13. Then you get MK on 8. So it's clearly our problem. Yeah. And you look at the teams below us, Walsall have drawn 11. Yeah. One roughly the same, lost roughly the same. And Harrogate are pretty much the same. Yeah. We have got the highest number of draws going out to 16th. There's nobody who's drawn as many games as us. So I know you can say, well, what if? But you look at the penalties. Yeah, the penalties could have clearly won us at least another 4 or 5 points, which would have put us comfortably in that middle pack of the playoffs. So we should be in the playoffs.
My only problem with that, Kevin, is if some maybes, because you don't know how a team changes. Like, say Tilly scores today and we go 1-0 drop ball. Do they change to get, because they have to win games as well to get automatic promotion? Do they then change the game and they push 3 up front, they go 4 at the back? Do we then nick another goal because they're attacking us and we can hit them on the break? Yeah, that's all ifs and maybes regarding the Pens, because again, it Mansfield away, Tilly scores, that would have been just before half time, and they could have come out and absolutely tried to destroy us and scored again, like they I saw him against Colchester the other day when they won up and they just battered Colchester for 45 minutes. It is ifs and maybes if the penalties have gone in, or if we had changed them draws for wins.
I agree, mate. Yeah, it's ifs and maybes, and at the end of the day, it's what the score is at the end of the game, not what might have been. I just think if you look at, and I'd agree, that's a playoff squad. You know, you take Stockport and you take Wrexham out of the league. It's all pretty average. Yeah, there's no team there that the only team I'd say that have played really good football I've seen was possibly Mansfield. The rest is pretty average. Yeah, he should have made the playoffs. I think he really should have done. The draws are down to his negative. You know, I'm really proud. He's proud because we've been great defensively. He's not proud because we've tried to attack, yeah? And I think that's where it's all gone wrong. The summer, I think, is really important, yeah? Because I think it was always never going to be one go to get rid of what was left there, yeah? There's players, you know, we probably got 9 or 10 grand every week sitting on the bench or not even making the bench who we couldn't get rid of, the Browns, the Pels, the Pierces, yeah? Hopefully, well, they will be gone this year, yeah? And I think this summer is probably a bigger summer, and I don't know what people think about this. I think this is more important this summer than it was last.
I tend to agree regarding this summer, because I think regard to we have got Johnson now, we have got Lewis, they're solid, they're in. Reeves will be here, Little hopefully will be here. As I said, I don't think Omar will be here. It's a big summer for Cope. I hope he's not listening to a lot of the fans. As Carl said, seen a few people say they want Joe Piggott back. I don't know what people are on at the moment, if they think Joe Piggott's the answer to our problems. He scored 3 goals in 33 games for Leighton Orient. He's not going to come back and score goals for us. Yeah, I think we had him at his peak. He done well for us. He went off for bigger money and he hasn't done anything since. It's like people keep shouting out about Lyle Taylor coming back and doing something for us. It's never going to happen. He loves it. He loves the fans giving him the admiration, but there's no way he wants to come back and play for Wimbledon again, because we're not going to pay him the money. So he don't love us that much. And if he did come back, I don't think he'd do anything in a Wimbledon shirt, because he's older now. He hasn't got that pace to do it, I don't think. And I think we just need to rely on Craig Cope to go out there and get... We need 3 strikers. We're going to possibly need a goalkeeper. And we're going to need, for me... And I hate saying it, I think we actually miss an Ethan Chislett type player, an attacking player that's going to open the door and get us in behind and score goals from nothing. That's where Tilly should be, and he's not doing it at the moment. Trevor went to the game today and said some guy went down the front at the end today and gave Davison dog's abuse as he came over to speak to a fan. Totally out of order. Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think that is out of order. Davison's not a fault for this season. He's hardly played, to be fair, so he can't be. Is he good enough? No. Is that his fault? No. Do you know what I mean? He's not playing. He's not starting. He's not getting near the team. We're chucking him on because he is literally the only striker that we have. And yeah, Jackson has to play him because we haven't got anything else. But hopefully, again, in the summer, we'll lose Davison. We'll lose Pell. Pell, again, this season, hasn't really done much. Hasn't played much. He's literally all he's done this year is kick balls at Milton Keynes fans, which we all thought was hilarious, but that's literally all he's done. Pierce will be gone. And as Jonathan said, Kevin said, there's a lot of money sitting on that bench or sitting around the squad. And hopefully we can use that in better positions. Jonathan, I'll come to you first before going to Kev. What do you think we need next season? Me and Danny spoke about on the pod. To improve and push for either automatic or playoffs next year?
Well, assuming that we lose Curry, we need a left back. I think we need a couple of strong midfielders and a couple strikers. And obviously, if we lose Bass, a goalkeeper. I think we're close. I think we just need... You know, because our whole brand this season has been, we are very hard to beat, which is good, but we need to add to that the ability to keep the ball on the floor, move it through the middle or up on the wings and get it to someone who can finish. Because, you know, that has really been the thing that has been missing. And I would like to, that's kind of my armchair opinion.
Yeah, no. Kevin?
Three strikers, to be honest. I think we need to bin off Omar, get rid of Davison if we can, and get a couple of three strikers who can play with Kelly if he's going to stay, which we hope he is. I think we need some creative midfielders, and that's why, do you know what, I'd rather than throw the boat out and sling a load of money at Omar, I'd sooner sling a load of money at Evans. He obviously enjoyed it. Can't see him staying at Stockport. He's out of contract. So someone like that, a him or a Chislett type player, we need someone in the middle who can unpick something. And as good as Reeves and Little are, they're not really those players. Obviously, we need a left back. That's a given. So certainly need a bit more in the middle, I think. And yeah, some strikers who can play together.
No, I agree. And I think Lemony Evans is one I would keep an eye on. I think something could possibly be done in the summer. I'm hoping something could be done in the summer. I think he's out of contract. I know he had a great time with us. And hopefully that's something that we are looking into and a possibility. I think we also need a centre-back or two as well next year because we've got Lewis, we've got Johnson who are brilliant. But John Joe goes back to Mansfield. Bournemouth goes back to Palace. We've got, Paul Cannonby is nowhere near it at the moment. Don't know what's happened. Where is he? Is he injured? Is he just out? Pierce will be gone. Brown will be gone. We need, I think, another... Maybe Sutcliffe will step up and become the fourth choice centre-back. But we do need a third.
I mean, out of those that you've mentioned, he's undoubtedly going to keep an older player with some experience, yeah. Who would you keep? Would it be Brownie after what he's done? Would you take a chance on John Joe at 35 on what he's done?
It depends on how much John Joe costs, but I wouldn't be keeping Brown. And I know he's done well coming in at centre back and stuff, but do we next year we're hoping that Lewis and Johnson won't get injured. Do you know what I mean? I don't think they've been injured. I think Johnson's been injured previously, but I don't think Lewis has. You don't want him going out of the team. As I said, Sutcliffe hopefully will step up. He's having a good loan at the moment. It's a shame we got rid of, what's his name, Jenkins, who ended up at Chelmsford. He's just been called up for, he just played for the England C team. He looks like people are sniffing around him again, and he was ours, and we released him at the end of the season. But for me, Bournemouth depends on how Palace see him, and at 23, he's not got near the Palace team at the moment, and will he probably get near him? Probably not. But could he play in League One? Port Vale fans think differently. They don't think he could. I'd love to have him here again next year. But if we had to sign one, it was a permanent one, For me, it would be Jonjoro Atoh at 35. I think we can see what he can do. And if you're going to play three at the back, you go Johnson, Jonjoro and Lewis. And I think that's a solid three at the back. If Jonjoro has to sit on the bench at 35, he's got to think, he's got to be used to that. Or I know he left Mansfield because he wanted to play more games. But if we went back to a four at the back, then, yeah, it would be Lewis and Johnson. But, yeah, I think...
I think you're right. If you look at him in comparison to Pierce, yeah, Pierce couldn't manage two games in a week, could he? You know, they tried to play him Saturday, Tuesday, and he just fell apart, didn't he? John Jones came in and he's just trudged on and played really, really well. So forgetting his age, yeah, I think if he was cheap enough and sensible enough, then yeah, I think he'd probably be the better signing.
The only question marks I have on Jonjo is that he's not played in a two at the back. He's not played in a four. We've always played three when he's been in the team. So Pierce has played in that four and been done for pace. We go backwards. Everyone says that he's slow, which, again, at his age, he's going to be. He's not going to be a former. He's not going to be quick. My problem with Jonjo would be, would he be able to play in that four at the back? Would we be able to play Johnson and Jonjo? Would we be able to play Lewis and Jonjo? I'm not 100% that could happen because, again, his age. At the moment, he's not been beaten in the air. He doesn't get beaten for pace because he plays at that. He's got two players next to him that kind of make up for it as well. Same as Lee Brown. Lee Brown's playing that centre-back role in a three. He's got Curry next to him and Bulmer can come across and Jonjo comes across as well. But it's good problems to have for Craig Cope because, as I said, I think at the moment we've got a good spine there in Lewis Johnson, Reeves Little, and then we've got Kelly up front. Mad for me that we haven't built a team around Kelly at the moment, or we're not playing to Kelly's strength, because he would never have treated Ali like this. I know he did for the first four games when he played him out on the wing, but as soon as he realised Ali was a striker and could play up front, he played around. We played to Ali's strengths and we played what Ali's game was. We don't do that to Josh Kelly, and I think we're kind of selling him down the river a little bit.
It's mad that he's not starting him. And this makes you wonder that is there something else going on that he's not starting him? You know, sorry, mate, go on.
Only because I say this is said on the pod the other day, I was speaking to someone who's quite well in at Southend, and they signed probably a league below where Josh Kelly's come from, and he was doing a normal job like McLean. He was working full time. He had to work his 4 weeks' notice before he could sign for Southend. So he wasn't training. And he said the step up from non-league level to full-time football is massive, even at conference level. He said you've got some conference players who are training. They're not training full-time. Even though they are full-time players, they're training, say, four or five times. Do you know what I mean? Where we are literally in twice a day. Do you know what I mean? We're training full-time. It's a big step up to league football. And he has come from Solihull Moors. I don't know what Solihull Moors full-time football looks like, but I can't see it being League 2 level, League 1 level, and maybe it is fitness that he's kind of struggling with, and Jackson would know that more than anyone, and that's maybe why he hasn't been finishing games. Do you know what I mean? He could be out on his feet. That's just me guessing and looking at why he's not playing and why is he not doing all the games all the time.
I don't know, mate, we're 3 months in now, aren't we? You know, if he can't get up to a level of fitness after 3 months, then you've got to really, and there's lots of really, really good players who never make it, not because they're not talented enough to play the professional game. Physically, they just can't play it, can they? Yeah. And is he one of them? Have we bought a dad? You know, what's he doing? You know, he's come from Solihull. Has he not settled in down here? Is he not happy down here? I just feel there's got to be something else. Because I think... Go on.
That's another thing you've got to look at. Has he settled yet? We don't know. He might take the summer to settle. He might be staying in a hotel. He might be staying out of town. He's travelling in because he can't... Do you know what I mean? He might even be travelling in from Solihull because he's got a family. I don't know his personal circumstances. Has he got misses and stuff? He might be travelling and it's taking its toll. I don't think we've signed a dud because, as I said, one of my mates said the other day, they've looked at every game that he's come, like, except for today. I thought he was poor when he came on today. But other than that, when he started and when he's played, I've not thought, yeah, this boy's rubbish. He's not going to make it. He also scored 13 goals in the conference. And you don't know if he had been playing for Solihull for the whole of the season, would he have got double figures for Solihull and 20 goals? And we'd be looking at it thinking, why are we not looking at these kids from the conference who are scoring 20-plus goals? So I think maybe the January move was probably come too early for him. And I think Craig Cove said that. We were looking at getting him in the summer. We were already talking to him about getting him in the summer. But then once Ipswich made it clear they were getting Ali, we had to make a move. And I know we made a move for Ajala, whatever his name is.
Talent as well, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, we've made a move for, I think we were trying to get both of them and we only got one. So, do you know what I mean? We did try and make the moves and possibly try to help him. At the end of the day, we end up with Josh. We needed another one. We didn't get it. And I think we don't know his personal circumstances of, is he travelling from somewhere? Has he moved down? He hasn't settled yet. Do you know what I mean? So football can be a lonely place when you're moving to places and you don't know the team and stuff. And hopefully he's going to have a pre-season here. He'll get his house in order, hopefully, if he's moving down and stuff like James Bourne and all them have done. And it's not a cheap place to live either, Wimbledon. So he's probably thinking, shit, do you know what I mean? Where am I going to live? Do I have to live in Chessington? And that's sorry to all the people that live in Chessington.
I agree. I think, and that's what's quite strange, because if you look at him, he's quite strong. He's lightningly fucking quick when he gets that ball. He looks like a player who could hold the ball up and join in more. And that's what's quite strange, that when he comes on, he seems to get really isolated. He was in like the top two or three targets for people in the conference, weren't he? He wasn't like somebody who's just been picked out of, you know, oblivion. There was him, that Talash, and somebody else. They were the three ones who were sort of, you know, positioned, and sort of people said, yeah, they'll be the next ones to move to the league. So, you know, I don't think we bought a dud. I think he just needs some help, mate. And that's where I wonder if there's anybody at the club who can actually help him in that way. Because I don't think Jackson can. I'm sorry, I'm not Jackson bashing again, but yeah.
No, I agree. And as I said, he hasn't been prolific in the conference. And also, he's never played league football before. This is the first time. So he scored 13 goals. Tolad just scored. He scored 13 goals in 24. So he's got 13 in around 40 games. Tolad just 18 in 40. Do you know what I mean? So we're not saying that Tolad would have come in and scored loads of goals either. They're two. I think they're two different types of players. But yeah, it's something that I think we needed to bring in two strikers. We only brought one in. And I think that's probably showing and why Kelly hasn't scored possibly as many goals as he can. As I said, we don't know the situation of where he's living. Has he moved down? Do you know what I mean? It's tough to move to full-time football when you've been playing non-league and you've been playing possibly part-time and then moving into full-time, now moving into pro full-time. Yeah, it's a different ball game. Yes, Jonathan, and then I'll wrap it up.
I think that we need more strikers, because I think League Two is not a place to play one up front. I think that we need two up front. I think that is definitely the way we need to go. And to be able to do that, you need to have at least three quality strikers on your roster so that you can do that effectively. But I feel like every time I feel like when a League Two team tries to play one up front, it puts too much pressure on that one striker, and I think it makes it a lot harder to make things happen. So that's my argument for why we need at least three quality strikers on this side.
No, I totally agree. I don't agree with you about playing one up front, because Stockport only play one up front, and they play pretty similar to us formation wise. They play at one up front and then the two beside them, but they've got strength and depth that they can change it to a two if they need to and bring on a player who's going to change it around. I think, again, Wrexham play with Mullin up front mainly, and then two near him. The other day they played two up front and they brought Ollie Palmer in to play next to Mullin. You look at Mansfield, they play with one up front, but they've also can change it and play two up front because they've got two or three strikers. Most teams we get out of this league, and we've done it before, we had four decent strikers when we got out of this league. We had Akinfenwa, Taylor, Elliot, and Aziz. I say he's decent, but Aziz, he played his part. We need that next year. I think we need Kelly, and then we need three other strikers who are going to come in, and they're all going to play their part during the season. We had Ali, and Ali was one he scored all our goals pretty much. He set up most of our goals and he caused most of the problems that we have. And I think, as I said, since he's left, Lemony Evans has left, we have struggled attackingly, and hopefully that will change. But yeah, I'm going to wrap it up because it's got to get the kids to bed and I want a couple of Easter eggs as well. So yeah, thanks everyone for joining us. Kevin and Jonathan, thanks very much for taking part. It means a lot. Otherwise, as I said, it's me just waffling on my own. Please get involved if you are listening and you want to get involved. Don't be shy. All opinions are welcome. If you agree with me, Kevin, Jonathan, or anyone else, just get involved. If you don't agree with us, it's even better because it means it's a feistier kind of debrief. Me and Danny will be back next week with the podcast. If you want to get involved, if you want to come on the pod, send me a message. If I don't reply straight away, it's probably because I'm working. But yeah, just badger me and we'll get you on the podcast. Hopefully we'll be back next Sunday with a debrief, depending on work and family life. Again, thanks everyone for listening. Joe will move this on to a podcast. It will be available as a podcast shortly if you did miss it or if you were having issues. But yeah, thanks very much, everyone. Have a good week and come on, you dons.